John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Powerful, powerful. You know, we have heard all kinds of songs about the cross, you know. The old rugged cross. All these religious songs, you know. And I want to talk about the power of the cross, but I want you to understand that there's not power in the cross. There's power in the event of the cross. Amen? And there are so many things that have happened from the cross. Now, we have a teaching called the cross. I want to call tonight's teaching the power of the cross, because there are so many things that we have missed or that we don't realize about Jesus and what happened in the event of, in that experience of him dying on the cross and what proceeded towards him dying on the cross. Now, I want everyone to first understand that he died before he got on the cross. Amen? And he died in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? I mean, the Garden of Gethsemane, sorry. Wrong Adam. And, but we're getting to that too. Glory to God. And we know that he died in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Because he died to himself. That was the only way he could have gone on the cross. And that's why when people come to this ministry, we tell them, welcome to the house of death. Because we must be dead to self. Or you can't make it. You know? This is where we must be willing to do whatever it takes. Not just one day. It's every single day. Every moment. Every decision you make, you must be willing to deny yourself. That's death. Jesus died before he got on the cross, so that he could get to the cross and fulfill his ministry. Fulfill the will of God in his life and fulfill the call in his life. And you and I must do the same thing. The thing is you and I are not going to the cross. We're coming from it. Has everybody got it? We're coming from what he paid the price. Amen? John 14 and verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the what?
Way,
the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have what?
Seen him.
This is very powerful, because Jesus said, I am the way. First thing he said is, I am. I am. In other words, he was saying, I am the Father, the way. I am the truth, the word. I am the life, the spirit.
Amen.
I am. Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
I am who I am. So we see here that there was a oneness in the unity of the Father, the Son, who is the Word, and the Spirit. Amen? So he was actually saying, I am the Spirit of the Father. I am the Spirit of the Son, the Christ. I am the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we are one. And if you see me, you see the Father. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, if you'll read that with me. Is everybody there? Read it with me. I am the what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That was Jesus speaking, wasn't it? Amen. The Almighty. He said, I am the beginning and the end of all creation. I am he who is present, who was before creation, and who will come and establish my kingdom. I am the Almighty. Does everybody see that? Do I need to repeat that? I am the beginning and the end of creation, all creation, who is present. Amen?
Yes.
Who is present, was before, who was present in creation, and who was before creation, and who will come and establish my kingdom. The Almighty. I am He who is, who was, and who is to come. Go to verse 18. It says, read it. I am He who lives and who is dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Who lives, who died for you, who rose for you, who is alive forevermore, and has a place for you, and who holds the keys of hell and death, so that you didn't have to. Amen? So you don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to die, but have eternal life. Who holds the keys of hell and death, a price that He paid for His children. Amen? A price that He paid for His children. I'm trying to express the, when He said, I am the way, truth, and life, there's so much to it. So much more than you realize. I am who I am. Hallelujah. So it says that He is the way, the truth, and life. And we know that in the three chambers of the tabernacle, there's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, which is the name of the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the tabernacle that was manifested not by made by hands, but made by God. Amen? Go to Ephesians 4. Power of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is everybody there? Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? Can everybody hear me? Are we okay there? Ephesians 4 and verse 7, would you read it? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Why would He descend into the lower parts of the earth? He couldn't do it in flesh and blood, could He? He had to do it in spirit, didn't He? So something had to occur before He could descend into hell and rescue me and you. Amen. He had to die. So many times we got to die before we can start. Amen. We got to die before we can start. And it says that He first descended in the lower parts of the earth. In verse 10, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. So we see here that the way is a representation of the cross. Amen. Jesus said, I am the truth, which is the representation that He descended, because our fight is against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but powers of darkness, and that's the truth. And the life is that He ascended and sent the Spirit of life. Does everyone understand that? Now, the way is known as the cross because of the price that had to be paid. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross is known as the blood. He was known as the sacrificial lamb, right? In other words, John's ministry, he came before Jesus and he came telling everybody about who was to come. He was calling them the lamb that was going to be sacrificed. In fact, in these first three statements that he made, I am the way, the truth, and the life, was actually the first three feasts of the Lord that were fulfilled. The Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. So those three feasts only Jesus could fulfill. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now look it. Nothing happens until the blood goes first. You can say, oh Lord, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. You cannot be accepted until you repent. So you can say, oh, Jesus, I accept you. Sorry, you better repent first. Does everybody understand that? Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. First the blood, then the Spirit. Why? Because God cleanses you so He can get close to you. He doesn't dwell with sin. Everybody got it? So, the cross, which is known as the way, is a representation of the price, the sacrificial lamb, by the blood. Amen? And then we know that the end result is walking in the Spirit, isn't it? So the blood always goes first, and then the Spirit. That's why when we start a service, we always repent, don't we? Now, those of you who aren't repenting, you may have some problems. Because you're known as dry ground. And the demons love dry ground. Hello? And if you think you made it, you're really in trouble. No one's made it. Amen? You're going to find yourself, the closer you get to the Lord, the more repenting you're going to do. You'll repent for goofy things that you never thought you'd repent for. You're going to realize that your wrong motive or wrong attitude, the Holy Spirit's going to bring conviction. And that's okay. That's good, isn't it? Because we want to get closer to the Lord, don't we? That's why we're here. We all want to get closer to the Lord. That's our objective of life, isn't it?
Amen.
To get closer to the Lord so that we can be a vessel of honor. Right? And so God can use us.
Amen.
But you first got to know who He is. Amen? And you first have to get cleaned up. Remember, God doesn't clean the fish before He catches them.
Amen.
He catches them and then fillets them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So expect to get filleted. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. We're a sweet aroma to the Lord, you know, right? Death is a sweet aroma. Jesus loves the smell of our flesh. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, glory to God. So we see already the first thing that the cross, the power of the cross brought was the power of life. In fact, one of the things it broke was the power of death, didn't it? So that was one of the great attributes of the cross. The first thing that was broke was the power of death and was exchanged for the power of life. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, I believe, hallelujah, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, I don't think so. I think it's Hebrews chapter 2. Yes, Hebrews chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 9. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Hallelujah! He tasted death for me and you. You know, sometimes we just take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? We don't really realize the depth of what happened. For it was fitting for Him, for whom all things and by whom all things are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. You know you're the sons, right? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He's the captain of our salvation. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, you know you're being sanctified right now.
Amen.
God is purging you and pruning you as you sit here right now.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is going to convict and squeeze till your flesh pops. Oh, here we go, Lord. Praise God. Let's read verse 11 again, okay? For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hey, He lowered Himself, didn't He?
Amen.
You're talking about God who came in the natural realm and became a man and He called me and you brother. Hallelujah. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. Now He says, I'm going to declare the name of the Father to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Do you know when you and I worship the Lord, you know who shows up? The King of Glory. To worship. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now the word might is a representation where you must make the choice. Listen, everything falls into place under obedience. Has everybody got it? Everything falls into place under obedience. That's why He says that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is Satan, and release those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, most people are afraid to die. Now, you know, nobody wants to die, do they? I mean, I don't want to die today. I don't mind going home, but I'd rather skip the process of death and just go, you know. I mean, hallelujah. Because we're not part of this place, are we? This is not your home, and you don't belong here. It's all falling together now. In verse 16, for indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Are you the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
Praise God. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, thank you, for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself had suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus, the way, truth, and life, destroyed the power of death to those that were washed in His blood and continue to be obedient. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 1. Why did He become a man? Genesis chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, would you read it with me, 26 through 28? And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we got to understand something. God created Adam in His image and likeness, in His character. Amen? Now, because He created him, something, there was a design creation that Adam was created to be an eternal being. Does everybody understand that? He was not created to die. He was created to be eternal. Amen? He held the highest office as God's Son to rule His creation after Lucifer. Now you got to understand something, and I'm not going to get involved in all this tonight, but we have a teaching called the Six Stages of the Earth, and I'll explain about Lucifer's position. But Lucifer was the right-hand man of God at one time. He was the highest archangel there was. Okay? And God created him. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and the earth was known as the mountain of God. Lucifer, who is Satan, ruled and reigned on the earth, didn't he?
Amen?
Amen? And it was inhabited by sons of God known as angels. But when Lucifer decided to exalt himself above God, God removed him. So when God created Adam, he created him in another form, in the image and likeness of God. God expressed himself through Adam, not as just a spirit, but as an eternal being in another realm. Lucifer did not like that. Ooh, he hated it. Now, Lucifer was sentenced to the earth. He was in his holding cell. That's why his throne was no longer on the earth or in the heavens, right? It's in the earth. That's what's called hell, all right? So he is sentenced already. He's in his holding cell, and the atmosphere was his holding place. He couldn't go beyond it, all right? Now, when Lucifer fell, and God shut down the earth and restored it in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and when he created Adam and he put him in charge of everything. Now, Adam being in the image and likeness of God, right, in his character, God was training up Adam in the garden, wasn't he? Now, Lucifer still had access there because he was part of the earth, wasn't he? Amen? Okay. So we see here that here's Adam, a man, a created living being. Go to verse, go to verse 7 in chapter 2. Go to verse 7 in chapter 2. What does it say? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Lucifer didn't like that, man. Oh, he hated, he hates man. Because what happened? Adam took his place, didn't he? Go to Genesis 3. In verse 11. Now we know that Adam and Eve bit the bait, right? And this is where Adam's fall was. And the Lord said to him, "Who told you that you were naked, Adam?" And he says, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I had commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, with me, she gave to me of the tree and I ate it." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. But you notice he didn't pass judgment on Adam or Eve, did he? Not yet. He went to the spiritual root, didn't he? Watch the next verse. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are what? You are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go." So obviously he was upright. "And you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Now this is powerful. "And I will put enmity," which means hatred, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now listen, Adam's fall restored Lucifer's position. Does everybody understand that? Satan now became ruler of the earth, and he still is to this day. Alright. His office of ruler. It says that, and Jesus said here, "And I'm going to put hatred between you and the woman," right? "And he shall bruise your head." Head means no longer in control. In other words, you're going to no longer have control. So everybody got it. When Jesus was on the cross and he died for me and you, Lucifer was now underneath our feet. Does everybody got it? He no longer has control over me and you. We're the head over him. But you know what? People don't realize that. Because the word says, "As a man thinketh, so he is." So he wants you to think that you're a weenie. Amen? He wants you to think that you're a wimp and you don't know nothing, that you're stupid and you're dumb and you can't do this and you can't do that and whatever. Has everybody got it? He wants you to constantly remind you that you're a sinner and you don't deserve any of this. Well, if we didn't deserve it, God wouldn't have come. And it's not that we deserve it, it's that he loved us enough to rescue us. Right? So he says, "And he shall bruise your head." I'd rather have my heel bruised than my head. And you shall bruise his heel. Bruising the heel of Jesus meant victory in battle. Has everybody got it? Victory in the battle. He said, Lucifer's head's going to get bruised, but Jesus' foot's going to get bruised. That means he's going to have victory in a battle. It was prophetic that he was going to come. When the Lord spoke this and set Satan straight and gave him his judgment, Lucifer knew that the seed was going to come. Does everybody understand that? He knew. And we have a teaching on demons that explains about why all these angels went into the women and stuff. And he knew that God was going to come into the world somewhere. Somewhere there was a seed going to come that was going to bruise his head. Amen? He knew it. God spoke it. He prophesied it, didn't he? What God speaks doesn't fall to the ground. Oh, hallelujah. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15. So why did God have to become a man? First of all, Adam, who was ruler, was a living being. Does everybody understand that? He started to play by his own rules. He could not come as just God and say, okay, here I am with all my power, right? How would he know what his creation went through?
Amen.
Amen? So he came as a man. He came as a man, the God-man, so that he could be tempted like me and you, so he could go through all the things, and so Lucifer couldn't cry about, well, man, you came as God and this and that and whatever. He came as a man so that he could be tempted and go all through the things that you and I do. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 45, read it with me. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Well, what was he doing? He was restoring what Adam lost. Because Adam was an eternal being. Has everybody got that? So what was Jesus doing? He was coming to restore our eternal position. Hallelujah. Let's go on. However, verse 46, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man, Adam, or the first man, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are the... Wait a minute. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now that's the final result, isn't it? So I want you to understand this. Hallelujah. One of the things of the power of the cross and what Jesus did is, not only did he destroy the power of death, but he also restored life, right? And he's also here restoring his image back to me and you. In other words, you and I now can walk in the fullness of Christ if we desire, depending on how obedient we are. It's all there for us. So now he's restoring back the image of the first Adam, who was the Christ who was to come. Amen? God had to become a man to fulfill what Adam failed at the temptation from Satan. Because Adam was ruler, and as a living being, God had to become flesh from the Spirit. allowing him to become a life-giving spirit, which only God can be. Go to verses 20 and 28. Back up a little. Verses 20 through 28. Would you read it with me? But now, is everybody there? But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his what? And he shall bruise his heel. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. So if all things are under his feet, were they under yours? That's right. He's put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's a powerful statement. Under his feet. So we know that his feet were bruised so that you and I could put the powers of darkness under our feet. You and I have dominion over all things. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. These are powers that came from what the event of the cross were. Amen? Go to Genesis 3 again. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
These glasses are hard to see. Huh? Genesis chapter 3. Now go to verse 7. And we know that Adam and Eve blew it, right? And it says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. So they knew that they'd sinned, even though they didn't know what sin was. Because sin is fellowship with the presence of evil, isn't it? Sin is the presence of evil. And the presence of evil was already in the garden, wasn't it? Right? Known as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Okay. Now, they blew it. They tried to make their own coverings. You know how many times we try to make our own covering? That's called justification. Yeah, but. Go to verse 21. So they tried to make their own coverings, which was not sufficient, was it? Amen? But God had another plan. In verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, I want you to see a little bit deeper here, because here's the cross. Remember, they tried to cover themselves. God stopped them and said, hold on a second. God took an animal of his own creation and killed it. Amen. He killed it, took the skins of the animal, and put them on Adam and Eve. Has everybody got that? Amen. And he restored covenant with them. But they still lost eternal life. Has everybody got that? Okay. Keep going. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So, Jesus was now the way again to the tree of life. Does everybody understand that? So, it was already prophetic of what he did, what was manifested by him killing an animal right in the garden, putting it on Adam and Eve. Because the word says the life of the flesh now is in the blood. Has everybody got it? Now listen, this was a foretaste of the cross to come. God killed one of his own creations to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. Amen? Because they're associated with the presence of evil. Now, it was a mistake of his children, wasn't it? That's why you and I repent. When Jesus came, he said, "Behold, repent, for the kingdom of God is upon us," right? Okay, because that brings the blood. But God had to bring the blood through an animal, didn't he? All right, and what else did he do? He was closed off eternal life, but he was restoring covenant by the blood to be fruitful and multiply. Does everybody have that? So when God sent Adam and Eve out, he said, hold on a second. Hold on. He paid the price. He took one of his own creations, killed it, put the skins on Adam and Eve, restored covenant that they could be fruitful and multiply, and sent them out, but they still had to die. But they sure lived a long time, didn't they? Amen? Has everybody got that? There was a foretaste of the cross. It was prophetic. It started right in the Garden of Eden. Not only was there life there, right? But there was death there. Right there was the way, the truth, and the life, who was the tree of life. So he stopped off the way to the tree of life, but he allowed covenant to come so that they could be fruitful and multiply. Jesus was going to come to restore back so that you and I could get to the tree of life again. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Praise God. Go to John 1. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of things that when we talk about the power of the cross, we know that he destroyed the power of death, right? He restored me and you into his image. He restored the covenant of fruitful and multiplying. Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 1, would you read for me right from verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was what?
God.
You know, only God can make a way and die for me and you. Only God can take the sins of man. Far be it that they would consider Jesus just man. You know, he was the God-man. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which God gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. God's own creation rejected him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The word believe means what?
Follow.
Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Wow. So there's birth from the cross, isn't there? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh, called himself Jesus, who restored eternal life, and a new covenant he established. and this can only be done by God in his death and resurrection. Does everybody understand that? Go to John 5. The power of the cross. In verse 24. Would you read it with me, please? Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Hallelujah. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Now you got to understand something. God took a part of himself and called him Son. He took a part of himself and sent him in the earth and called him Son. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, in verse 27, and has given him what?
Authority
to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He was the God-man. He said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. All has been granted to the Son, and all things have been granted to me and you. That's been from the cross. See, the devil doesn't want you to know who you are. He doesn't want you to know and understand and comprehend the price that was paid that you and I can walk in. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Now we know that the number 7 means complete and perfect, right? Right. And when Jesus was on the cross, there were 7 places that he bled from. 2 hands, 2 feet, his head, his back, and his side. Every one of those areas are a representation of something. All those areas was an exchange for me and you. Why? So that you and I could walk and carry the gospel of truth. So that you and I could work the works through our hands. So that you and I can have the mind of Christ. Amen. So that you and I can walk in healing by His stripes. So that you and I could birth, because out of the same side that Eve came from, out of Adam, Jesus was pierced on that side of water and blood came out. Now the water represents the Spirit. I mean, the water represents the Word and the blood represents the Spirit. Has everybody got that? The blood here represented the who? The Spirit. And the water represented the Word. See, that gives me and you the ability to birth things from the Spirit realm into the natural realm. Jesus has birthed me and you. He birthed me and you right on the cross. Has everybody got it? He carried all of creation. He was pregnant. And he birthed me and you right on the cross.
Amen.
See, he went through his birth pangs, through the scourgings, through the beating, through the humiliation, through the mocking. Those were all birth pangs. See, he had to carry it all the way. He knew. See, he was carrying his children to the cross. On the cross, he birthed me and you out of his side. Because you know what? His side was not pierced till after he was dead. Has everybody got it? That's when. Why? Because he first had to die to make way for me and you to be birthed. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. And what's the wrath through Him? Judgment. Judgment. In verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. By whose life? His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we know that you and I, through the cross, have been reconciled, haven't we? We've been saved from the wrath of God, and we've been reconciled. You know, He prayed that you and I would be one with Him, didn't He? Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 14. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 and 15. Read it with me. He says, if you what? Love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So we know that from the cross, you and I were able to receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And how is He going to come to me and you? Through His Spirit. Hallelujah. Go to John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And that's why some people are not walking in all truth, because they have no relation with the Holy Spirit. Or they do not know how to discern His voice. Or they're not willing to die to self. He will guide you into all truth. You know what? Everyone in this room should be walking in truth. If you truly have a relationship in the Spirit with God Almighty, you'll be walking in all truth, won't you?
Amen.
Doesn't mean you won't make a mess sometimes. Thank God. But you know what the Word says? That we can walk perfect, doesn't it? In Him. Not in our own strength. Only in Him. And He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and what? Well, now wait a minute. This is where Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life what? More abundantly. If all things are Mine and yours, then why aren't we walking in it? Because as a man thinketh, so he is. People do not understand what came from the cross. You and I came from the cross. Amen? And we're still walking it. We're to keep going. But we're to be taking everything from the cross that He paid. That price that He paid for me and you. We're to have taken it and walk with it. So that you and I are now the way, the truth, and the life. Because He who dwells in us is greater than he was in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. In verse 3. Would you read it with me? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, was blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now listen to this. You and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You and I shouldn't fall short of nothing. Nothing. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. The only reason why people aren't in that position also is because of disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just as He chose us in Him, hallelujah. Man, this is powerful. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and we're seated in heavenly places. You may be here on earth, but you're still seated in heavenly places. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Praise God. So we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and we're seated in heavenly places. That came from the cross, isn't it? We are sons. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Oh, praise God. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual sin sins against the what? Immoral. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit are His. It's no longer your life. Now you got to understand something, that the Spirit has been really expressing this over and over and over. Over and over and over. He's really trying to get us out of us. He's trying to get us in the place of submission, obedience, surrender, death, and glory. For His glory. So there's a price to pay. You know, you and I have a price to pay also. It's called obedience. Amen. Go to Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Starting at verse 1. Read it with me. Isaiah 53. He has believed our report. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now healing is available for anyone, isn't it? But you got to get in position to get it. Deliverance is available for anyone, but you got to get in position to get it. Everything takes positioning. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Here we go. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? It pleased the Lord to bruise that animal. He has put him to grief, an offering for sin. He shall see his what? Hallelujah. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He's still praying for me and you. Hallelujah. What a price from the cross. Let me share something with you. What a lot of things the cross removed. Sickness. The power of the cross removed sickness. Removed death. Removed diseases of torment and mind. Removed spiritual blindness. Deafness. Dumbness. Remove our past. And remove fear and doubt and unbelief. It removed poverty and sin. It removed eternal death and brought us to a new life. Many things in the power of the cross that is manifested in me and you. It removed loneliness and brought us in fellowship. The torment of dying. It brought us the answers of who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. Amen? Amen. Which the world still doesn't know yet. In Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 27. And verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were what? Open. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Praise God. New life and witness. Power of the cross. New life and witness. Go to John 19. John chapter 19. Hallelujah. In verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on his hyssops, and put it to his mouth. And Jesus had received the sour wine. He said, it is what? Finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Let me share something with you. When Jesus said, it's finished, it's finished. Everything was completed. When you utilize the name of Jesus, everything you do always reflects to the cross. The Father does not look at you. He looks at what His Son did. Has everybody got that?
Amen.
Let me share this with you. He's not looking at your performance. His love for you never changes. Has everybody got that? His love for you and me never changes. When you say in the name of Jesus, the demons are not looking at you. They're looking at what Jesus did. Everything that you and I do is a reflection of the cross. That's where your authority came from, as the price he paid. Now I always share people, listen, the word tells us that in his name, we can utilize the name of Jesus, but you better know him. You got to know him. It's wonderful that you read about him, but you got to know him personally. You got to meet him. You got to talk with him. You have to have fellowship with him all the way so that the power of the cross could be manifested through you, bringing him glory. His whole purpose was to bring glory to the Father, wasn't it? And the Father gave him all the glory. Now the Spirit is to bring all glory to the Lord. And that's what you and I are doing. We're bringing glory to the Lord. Because you and I now are the temple of God, which is the way, truth, and life. You and I now have the mind of Christ, the will and the desires of Christ. We have dominion over all things because of what has been paid on the cross. If you don't understand what was done, you won't have dominion. Does everybody got that? If you can't comprehend what was done, you're walking in blindness still. We must understand and fully comprehend what was done, what was completed, what was finished. Because the demons know whether you know or not. They know. Whether you know. If you don't know, they're going to take advantage of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 6. Well, I know the scriptures, and I know this, and I know that, and I know pastor, and I know this, and I know an evangelist, and but do you really know the truth? Do you know the power of the cross? It's not about head knowledge. It's about heart. In verse 11, Galatians chapter 6, in verse 11, Paul writes, "See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Don't get circumcised and don't worry about it. You don't have to walk right, just get circumcised. "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world have been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul got it. He understood the power of the cross. "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a" what? "New creation." See, he got it. He understood it. And he preached it. He said, "I preach that which Christ crucified." Amen. Christ crucified. He understood the depths of the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's read this one together, okay? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that you are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Wow. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Here we go. What are they? Enemies of Christ. They are the enemies of the cross. You know why? They cannot comprehend the fullness of the power of the cross. In fact, what they do is they use it and justify what they do, so they can fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desire of self. Those are enemies of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, we must be able to teach what we learn.
Amen.
We must be in a state of able to give what we've received. Because freely we have given it, freely you should give. Amen? You know how many believers are out there who do not understand the fullness of the power of the cross? Oh, they wear big crosses. They got great t-shirts. They got all kinds of sayings and all kinds of fads. All kinds of apparel. Right? But they can't walk. Right, because they don't understand the power of the cross. Still setting their thoughts, their focuses, their purpose on the ways of the world. You know, so easy to receive salvation. It's just as easy for everything else. People are willing to accept salvation from the power of the cross, but they're not willing to accept prosperity, healing, deliverance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Disobedience is still allowing them to set their minds on the things of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Okie dokie. Let's go on. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in where?
Heaven.
You don't belong here! For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Hey man, there's a brand new body waiting for me and you, glorified. That's the power of the cross.
Amen.
That's the fulfillment of redemption. Glorified body. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me one day, how you doing? I said, I am because He is. How you doing? I am because He is. The I am lives in me. Hallelujah. What's going on? Boast in the cross. Matthew 10:34. Jesus said, do not think I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves jobs and money and lust, things of the world, is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross, listen, he who does not understand the power of the cross cannot follow me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will what?
Find it.
He who receives, you receives me. That's the power of the cross. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Do you understand that? That's a powerful statement. He who receives you receives me. Why? Because we're Christ.
Amen.
We're not the Christ, we're Christ.
Amen.
Somebody got it? We must begin to comprehend the power of the cross and the fullness of who we are because of what He did. In the fullness. Oh, hallelujah. See, now you and I can birth just like He did. We can birth. He said, you'll do greater works than I will. Right? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 6. Or John 6, I'm sorry. John chapter 6. One more scripture and we'll close. John chapter 6. Now I want to share something with you that was very profound because Jesus gathered all of His disciples at the Last Supper and He said, take this in remembrance of Me. Remember? Break the bread, drink the wine. In remembrance of Me. What He so desires is that you and I remember the power of the cross. He was telling His disciples, remember everything that I'm going through. Remember everything that I'm going through. It's for you. If you can remember and understand and comprehend everything I've done, you'll walk in victory. If you can comprehend the power of the cross, all things are yours. In verse 53. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He who understands the power of the cross. I want to close at Mark 16. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, in verse 16, hallelujah. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
How can you be a Christian and not follow? You're a liar. It's real simple. You're deceived and you're a liar if you're still doing your own way and your own will. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who follow Him. Signs should be following us.
Amen.
Why? Because of the power of the cross. In My name, hallelujah. Listen, when you understand the power of the cross and you use the name of Jesus, you have dominion. In My name, they will what? Come on, read it with me. Look at it. It's in the Word. They will what?
Cast out demons.
Read it. Read it. Get there. Come on, everybody. Start over again. Get there. I want everyone to see it in the Word. Praise God. Warriors. No notes. No nothing. Let's do it. In Mark 16, read it. And these signs will follow those who believe. And they will what?
In My name.
I'll start that over again. Come on now. Verse 17, hold on. Is everybody there now? Verse 17. Come on, you got to know who you're supposed to be. You don't want to be a weenie all your life, do you? These signs will follow those who believe in My name. Say in My name.
In My name.
What name?
Jesus.
Why? Because of the power of the cross. Oh. They will what?
Cast out demons.
Some of you need to go home and get some of them rid of them yourself tonight. You better have some of your brothers lay hands on you. If you're miserable, you got a demon. demon of misery. And don't let it spread. Get rid of it. It's a cancer. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In other words, you're going to have dominion over the powers of darkness. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because of the power of the cross. Hallelujah. You got it? Did you get it? You going to give it? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll open ears, eyes, and heart with revelation of the price that you paid. Only you, Daddy, could come down to the earth and pay the price on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for the power and the exchange that you did for us. Help us, Lord, to comprehend who we are in you. And we promise to give you all our glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.